Superkicks.com offers cool streetwear and apparel at great prices. Shipping worldwide, thanks to the guys at Superkicks, you can get 10% off your order by using the code SWN at the checkout. That's Superkicks.com, pro wrestling apparel.
Welcome to the latest edition of the SWN podcast. I am your host, Billy. I am joined this time with another trainee from the Fife Pro Wrestling Asylum. This time it's Harmony Sky. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you were in demand, I think. As soon as I put up the call for for people to be on the show, I think a lot of your training colleagues put your name forward straight away.
Johnny Reeves, I saw him put it in.
Brent Carter, Omar Mohammed, Johnny Reeves, they all put your name forward. So I think it's only fair that I hassled you and got you on for a chat. So, like I said, I'm going to go through, I told you before I went on, that I'm going to ask you the boring question first and then we'll just go from there. So, how did you get into professional wrestling?
I think it was mainly my dad. Like, it wasn't that long ago that I actually got into it. I think my dad, he used to watch it as a child, and then he got back into it at about Mania 30. And sometime between 30 and 31, I'd like knew everything there was to know about wrestling. So it wasn't actually that long ago. I think it was everything up to my dad. I just watched it. I was like, that's cool.
So was it 36 this year? Yeah, so about 6 years then.
Aye.
And then. Okay, so, I mean, for those that are unaware, that according to my stringent research here, you're 16. So folk are going, oh, only a new fan. But you've watched since you were 10, which is the same for most of us. I started watching in 2000. So, well, 99, 2000. So that's about 9, 10 years old. So how did you go from watching 6 years ago, starting to watch it, to thinking, oh, I'm going to start trying to do this?
I wasn't like, because quite a few people were like watching, like, and they say, oh, it was like this big thing, and I'm like, I just thought it looked cool, I just wanted to try it. And I kept telling my dad when I was 12, I was like, listen, I really, like, I think I'd enjoy it, I think I'd be good at it. And then he tried everything to get me into any company that would take me, really.
So did you do the old backyard stuff with your pals and that? Because I remember doing that when I was younger.
I did, on trampolines and stuff, which wasn't very good. It's not the same. Try to run on ropes off of a net on a trampoline, small.
It was grass or bark was the two options for landing on. Imaginary ropes was also the other one. So just like, I'm stopping here now and turning round. I remember doing that myself until... I was a lot older than I should have been when I stopped doing that. So if I'm right in thinking, you start with drawing lines. So it must be, was W3L you started with initially?
I first started with a company called Paramount, which is more hanging in me. Like, they just started, and that's when I started with them. But I wasn't for them for very long. But I was mainly at W3L when I'd actually like started proper training with Johnny Lyons.
I heard of Paramount. I did hear that they had like results every so often on their Facebook page of folk winning their title. So yeah, I did hear about. Was that Dunfermline or Fife round about there?
I think it was a bit Dunfermline.
At least I'm actually someone that was at it now. So because I never actually went any further than putting them like on the site or anything, because I knew nothing about them. I'm sure
that's where I met Johnny Reeves as well. He was there for a wee bit.
Okay. Well, I'm learning new things about Paramount. So yeah, we went W3L, and that's of course when you went under the tutelage of Johnny Lyons. So what was it like initially, like your first bump, your first training session?
It was a wee bit alright actually, not as much as like coming back. Because I was in the juniors class, we weren't really allowed to do as much. But Johnny kept pushing for me and Ross Hunter to like go further, so he would have us staying or the bumps and running ropes quite early on, which was quite painful. Waking up the next morning, having like a sad back and a bruise as well. Yeah, it was, but it was fun though. Someone I was looking forward to getting the bruises.
So of course you went to FPWA. So that was again with my great research here. That was about October last year, wasn't it? You went over there. So was it just a no brainer as soon as Johnny went over to FPWA that you were?
Yeah, as soon as I heard that Johnny was going, I was kind of like, well, it's just something like, because and he trained, but he didn't train at W3L, but he came down to use the ring a few times. And I think I spent maybe about 5 minutes with him, and I was like, I need to like get more of this guy's time. I need to have like a full session. And then when I realised that was him that was opening up FPWA, it was like, wow, it's just an easy switch.
So as far as like the Scottish wrestling scene, how much have you seen? Had you seen of it before you'd actually started training yourself?
Well, my dad used to take me to a few of his pals that he works with. He doesn't wrestle anymore, but he used to wrestle like independently. I went to see him a few times, and I saw like Joe Hendry and stuff out there. I can't remember what company it was for, but like I saw quite a few guys there. It was actually quite good, but that was like my first time actually seeing wrestling properly, like in person.
Yeah, that's kind of what you expect with the shows like that. Now, you don't see WWE going in the, or whatever it is, the Brayhead, the Hydro going through the fire escapes. It's a bit more intimate when it comes to that.
Definitely. So
as far as just the whole landscape of wrestling, was there any of your favourites straight away that caught your eye? I'm assuming, again, from my list here, I've got the likes of Trish Stratus and that, but that was, well, she would have been gone by that point. So who was your kind of favourites when you started watching?
Straight away was the Bellas. I reckon what was about them, I think I just like that a lot of people were quite negative towards them, and they weren't very nice to them, but then I thought they were great wrestlers. I still think they're great wrestlers, and all the stuff that they've overcame to actually be there was quite inspiring to me as well, even at such a young age, like 10. And then other favourites was like The Big Show, which I don't know like why. I think it's because he switched his personality like every 2 weeks. I was excited to see if he was going to be face or heel this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bellas are one of those acts and characters that you don't realise how much they put into the product until they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And especially nowadays, you're desperate for characters, and everyone's just really great wrestlers. When you have like the likes of, say, Lana, she's not the best wrestler in the world, but she's a great character. No. So you need that kind of balance in that as well. So you went to FPWA, and you've been there for, well, I was going to say the last year, but 6 months of that has been
technically not happening. So
you're quite a favourite with the team. Is it just your work ethic? Are you just one of the guys? Or?
I hope that they see me as a person that likes to work hard and one of the guys. I get along with everybody, and I'm up for doing anything, whether it's like we hang with like Face Your Fear, and everybody's up for that. I think we're all just like really good team players. We like to build each other up, whether that's for being on a podcast or doing like a photo shoot or having a match or whatever it is. We just like to support each other in whatever we're wanting to do.
Definitely sounds like a really fantastic group that's there, because as soon as I put up anything about like someone from FPWA, there's always someone from that company that's bigging you up, or if I put up something about Omar, someone from FPW over there just going, oh, this guy's great, or I'm going to batter you, but in like a loving way. It's really nice to see, because I suppose when I started watching the whole Scottish wrestling thing, it was 2012, so I didn't notice it as much, but there was all these kind of probably like rivalries between schools and like just infighting for no reason. But nowadays, especially after everything that's happened this last few months, it seems to be quite harmonious, which, pardon the pun, but it's harmonious in the form of like everyone just wants to be wrestling now and just enjoy themselves. You did put out a tweet around about the time the whole speaking out thing happened. As someone who is not wrestling yet, and very brand new to this whole thing. How did that make you feel when you realised that companies and I were just being stringent and making sure everyone's safe, even if they were before? But did that make you feel more confident and just?
Yeah, it made me feel a lot more comfortable because I think everybody speaking up, I kind of opened my eyes to see kind of problems that I'd yet to witness, but not debuting yet. And especially now hearing everybody's stories, like I just feel so much more comfortable, even with just being in a local room with people or just being booked on a show. Just makes me feel more safe as a woman as well, just to actually be around other people that kind of understand.
Absolutely, and coming out of this, a lot of again that harmonious thing where there's wrestlers that you might never have met before are now contacting you, not in a creepy way, but are actually contacting you to go, how is your training getting on? When can we wrestle? Or keeping an eye on your training progress. I can't wait to actually wrestle. Especially in the female side of things, because you've got the likes of fierce females that are definitely the forefront of women's wrestling. Is that a company, I'm assuming you just want to get everywhere, but is that a company that it's a goal that you want to get to, or is there anywhere that you want to get to?
Fierce Females is like one of the top on my list that I would like to get to. I just feel like it would be such a great environment and it would be such a great opportunity to actually get to wrestle there. Seeing how many great women are already like training there, and I know they just went back to training, I think, I just saw a tweet that they went back. Which seems pretty cool, and hopefully I get to be there maybe the next year or two, I'd say.
Fingers crossed stuff is actually on again to be able to do that.
I know.
So you were fast-tracked, so Johnny pushed to fast-track you into the adult class in W3L, and then he did it in FPWA, so again, from my... Excellent. I'm very impressed with my research for very little that we have. I've got loads. I'll say loads. I have names written down that I'm going to bring up every so often. But yeah, so you were fast tracked at 15 into the adult class. How was that experience? Because you said juniors, you didn't do. You did stuff, but you didn't do as much.
Right.
What was it like going into the adult class for the first time?
I think Johnny kind of. Made us kind of aware of what it would be like with me and Rosanta. We were both fast track. I think we're like 2 weeks apart, so we're both like same age, 15 when we first started. He would take us in for the adult classes at W3L, so we kind of got an idea of what it would be like, but it was much more intense when I went to FPWA because it was like 2 hour sessions, 2.5 hour sessions. But even then, it was just like I was just happy that I was actually getting to be there, and they weren't really hanging about my age, like it was just someone like, you want to be a wrestler, we'll treat you like a wrestler, rather than, oh, you're just 16, we'll just treat you like a child. And Andrew's good that way, like he makes it hanging, he doesn't care about my gender, he doesn't care about my age, he kind of want to be a wrestler, so he'll treat me like a trainee, like I just want to wrestle.
So we've got a question from Brent Carter, which kind of goes with that. I'll read out literally how he's written it down. How does our wee body somehow manage to contain such massive lungs? Because Andy's warm-ups are horrible and she always seems to smash them, no bother.
Oh, I didn't even ken. I can name, last week, I was on like the top of the leaderboard for doing the warm-up. I got like 10 minutes. And the funny thing is, I had asthma when I was younger, so I'm not even sure how it works. Ashley Vega was saying the same thing. She was like, how are you so fit? I was like, I can. I've been doing sports all my life, so maybe that's got something to do with it.
That's what I was going to ask. Well, he's put it in the end, asking purely out of jealousy because I get blown up so much quicker than she does. But yeah, I was literally going to ask that. Did you have a sports background, football, gymnastic, hockey, or anything like that?
Yeah, I played football for about 4 years, I'd say. Which I wasn't the best, but I was still running. I was captain in my team, but we're one of the best teams. We always got beat, but it was fine. Because we still played like a team, which was good. Good to get out the house.
What position were you?
Oh, I was right wing.
Right, okay. I was usually left back in the locker room. So it was such a dad joke. But I was usually in defence because my first day I was like, oh, where do you usually play? Oh, I'm usually left at the back in defence. And I went, okay, that's where I'm going to put you. But I was a really bad defender. I didn't tell him that when I started.
I wasn't a great defender either. That's where they tried to put me. But then I was like, let me just try and score at least. But they did eventually move me to the wing. But I wasn't that good at running, so.
At least it set you up to run the ropes, I'm sure. Get that agility going. So you said you learned everything in about a year from your dad, between WrestleMania 30 and 31. When you go back, again, favourites, was there anyone that was like, that's the person I want to emulate, or that's the person I want to watch more of, and that who caught your eye?
Well, like, not at the time, but now that I look back, I would definitely say AJ Lee. I just didn't like her at the time because she was feuding with the Bellas, and, like, they were my favourite. But now that I go back, just everything about her, like, she was so, like, ahead of her time. Like, just her wrestling style was great. She was great on the mic. She was just, she looked great. Everything about her was amazing. I'm glad that she doesn't like wrestling anymore. But then, besides them, I'd probably say Naomi as well. She was always somebody that I thought was, because she's so athletic and she could literally do anything. And anytime I watch her, I'm like, how does she do that? Like, I don't know how she's able to run, dance, and then go and wrestle. I was like, I'd be puffed out after that.
Well, I mean, according to this Brent card, and no, I don't think it would be.
Maybe don't.
So do a 10-minute warm-up and then do a 20-minute match. It'd be no bother. It'd be fine. So along with Andy and Johnny Lyons, is I know Jason Reed does a lot at FPWA as well, and you cut a promo about him. As part of FPWA's, was it just like promo of the week or just?
It was a promo tournament.
Promo tournament. Did you win it?
I did win it.
Did win it. That was the promo.
That was the first promo we done, which I was like, I don't know why he's put me up against Jason Reed. I was like, he wrestled in ICW. He clearly comes what he's talking about. So I just decided I'd rip on him, and it let me win. So.
Well, the Donald Trump stuff, I think it actually started up my way because he used to come out as well. You've seen Jason Reed. Everyone's seen Jason Reed with he's kind of dialed back the quiff now, but it was horrific.
It was something.
It was definitely something. What was that? It was definitely something.
It was something.
And he was so orange, and it was just unfortunate that Donald Trump also owns a golf course up here. So that's. That was not helpful for him at all. Well, I say it was because he made his mark in wrestling because of it. So absolutely. So we'll go for opponents, dream opponents. I'm assuming I saw you did training with when it opened up again. You did training with Ashley Vega.
I
assume she's won a match now that you've disrespected. Her man, is that, are you thinking that's going to be one of your first matches in the future?
Well, definitely. I'd love to wrestle Ashley Vega. We've spoke about it a few times, which I'm excited to wrestle, especially now that I am, because we trained at W3L quite a few times, especially I've evolved so much with just being at FPW, got so much more knowledge now, so I think it'd be a decent match as well. But I'd also like to wrestle Omar as well. I've never wrestled him before. I don't know why I've never wrestled him, but I'm not sure.
So it's one of the bigger things, like, in the world is like, I mean, wrestling is wrestling, but like, things like intergender wrestling, that's just doesn't bother you at all. You just want to get in and wrestle anyone that you can.
I've never, because I've always been kind of like the only female. We've got quite a few females now, but at the start, FPW, I was the only female, and then it was the same at W3L. So I've always just been training with the boys anyway, so, and they didn't treat me any different, which I think is pretty good, because I wouldn't want them to treat me any different. I wouldn't want them to hit me any different.
Absolutely.
So intergender matches is kind of something I like to watch.
Yeah, so for like intergender matches, so likes of Candice LeRae and Jordan Grace and all that kind of guys, kind of girls.
Yeah.
So that's. So you just want to wrestle. That seems to be the be-all and end-all of it. I mean, at the moment, nobody is. And it was supposed to be an FPWA showcase, I think, wasn't there, in the middle of the year?
Yeah.
Which hasn't happened. No. Did you know who you were possibly going up against, or was it just a knew it was happening? No, didn't know what was happening.
I had an idea that I'd be on the show. I had no idea the card, but I didn't hear what Andy was planning. I was hoping to maybe go against Omar or maybe Ross Hunter. I'm quite like comfortable with wrestling them guys, so especially if I'd been on a show for the first time, I wanted somebody that I was really comfortable with, somebody I can that could kind of lead me as well. But I had no idea who I was might be facing. I didn't care what I tell us because we're still planning my show, I think.
So when it comes to that first show, you said you're building your confidence with wrestling and getting to know everyone. Is actually performing in front of a crowd, is that something that you think you'll feel comfortable with, or you just kind of wing it when you get through the curtain?
I feel like I'd be really nervous before that. I kind of would be nervous before that, but I think because I get quite nervous with just doing it in front of a few people, because I'm like, I can't, they're going to be staring at me. So I think maybe a crowd of people would probably be a bit better. I think it might be something I'll have to win as well. I'll have to be how I see. But I speak to Andy and stuff, and he tells me, like, as soon as you get out there, it doesn't, like, you didn't even care. You just want to focus on the match. Doesn't matter who you're around, which I like getting advice from Andy because he clearly comes with something about.
Absolutely. I mean, Andy Wilde's probably... For very brief interactions I've had with Andy, I know that I get the vibe of he'll push you, but he won't push you to a place where he wouldn't go. So he would kind of like do as I do. If I'm going to do this, I'll get you to do it somehow, but I'm not going to go like cracking the whip totally on you. I would really love to see one of his training sessions because he's so soft spoken. I can't imagine him just being like barking orders at folk. It would just be I can imagine Johnny Lyons doing it because he's super intense.
Oh, definitely.
I've heard his stories about going to the cinema, so I'm fairly certain.
Oh, I know. He tells me that one like all the time.
There was a podcast. It was Stephen Louch's Tuck of the Draw, and hearing stories from Johnny just getting riled up at people in the cinema. I was just sitting there going, if I ever go into cinema and I see him anywhere, I'm just leaving. There's no point.
Chuck my phone away. I wouldn't even like look at it.
I know, but you go, what's the time? Don't care. I'm here forever now.
But I'm not looking at that.
Yeah. So what's it like? I mean, you have discussed it a little bit. What's it like? It's kind of like chalk and cheese. You've got the intensity of Johnny Lyons, and you've got the quite cool, calm, I assume, of Andy Wilde. So what's it like training with these guys?
I think I've always had like a kind of soft spot for us. It's just because Johnny's, although he could be really intense, he's more intense when he's speaking. But then when he's demonstrating something, he makes like noises, and you kind of watch him like, what's going on? And have he to actually do that? Andy's really soft spoken. Andy's just, he'll always demonstrate something. He'll never get us to do it without him explaining it properly and him showing us what to do. He's never done something that we'd be uncomfortable with, and if we were kind of like a bit wary about it, he'd do it first. Like, he's always the kind of guy to be like, right, I'll show you first, then you could do it, just to make sure that we can, that it could be done and that it's safe to do it. So it's not too bad, but I mean, Johnny's a wee bit intense, he's a wee bit, he's someone else as well, we'll say that.
Yeah, I love Johnny, but yeah, he's like, as soon as you see him, he's been tanking the Red Bulls and the Monster all day, and he's just there. he's ready. I've went past shows when they were doing them in Union Square, and he would just jump out and just shout at me, Billy! Like, oh my god, hello. Hello, Johnny.
like, don't look him in the eye.
I don't know what you're going to do. I'm assuming it's good, but I don't want to look. So, again, we spoke about Fierce Females just being kind of like your top of your list. Is there anywhere else that you want to, that's kind of in your immediate future, say, within 5 years, where would you want to be?
I've helped out at a few Discovery shows, and just like the atmosphere there is really great. The crowd's always great, and the cards and the lineups that they have are always amazing as well. So I think just to even get a chance to just be there. Like, I remember one of the last times I helped out, NDP was there, and then like the next month he was on the Royal Rumble, and I was like, how does that even work? He clearly has to ken. I was like, but I met him anyway. Which is a funny story.
Yeah, did he try and pick his brain backstage, or was he just more, were you more like, oh my god, it's MVP?
Well, I can't remember where I went there. It was me, Ross Hunter, I think maybe Nate Stevenson was there. But we're sitting through the back, we just got sent to lunch. So when he walked in, we're all sitting there with Rufus chatting because we just went to KFC. But I mean, he walked in, he's kind of looking at us like, and we're all kind of like, hello, we've got Mufu's chatting. I'm like, we could have maybe been a wee bit more hygienic. Maybe no talk to our Mufu, but.
Yeah, meeting like wrestlers off the telly is still the weirdest experience ever. And I think you'll probably find that forever as well. Just because I think this week a tweet went out saying, do you call your wrestlers their real names or do you call them the wrestler names? And one of them was, the story that popped into my head initially was I met Ricochet, and I was working Rock and Wrestle as just a taxi, and I was picking him up, and he came up to me and went, "Oh hi, I'm Trevor," and I was like, "No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. Don't, no, stop it. I don't want to know these things." But yeah, it was just the weirdest experience. So yeah, meeting MVP, you're just like.
I met Pac as well, and I mean at the time he wasn't really in AEW, so I was like, oh, that's Neville. And then he's like, hi, my name's Ben. I was like, no, it's not. That's not your name.
It's like, no, don't pull back the curtain totally. You're Pac.
Aye.
So again, we spoke about like matches you want, but who would be your number one favorite? Would it be AJ Lee or would it be Trish, Lita? Who would be your dream opponent, fantasy, anyone, past, present, male, female, whoever?
I think maybe Becky Lynch or Sasha Banks. I mean, Becky's pregnant, it's going to be a bit. But definitely Becky, she's one of my favourites like all time. Just, I think whatever, put her attitude, her wrestling style, she's great on the mic. And I think because she's kind of went through similar paths that we went through, gone through the Indies, which obviously a lot of wrestlers do, but I think because she's to the UK as well, or is she? Ireland? Madigan.
Well, I mean, I don't want to annoy Irish people, but just from that area, just from that, likes of like your Kaylee Ray, your Nikki Cross and all that kind of stuff. They're the people that you can go, well, they've made it, why can't I make that as well? Especially if you've got likes of Andy training you, that who's especially in Scotland and the UK, he's done just about everything you can and wrestles everyone you can from the ones that have went on. I know that FPWA have had like guest coaches and that. Have you been able to partake in? I think it was Kenny Williams, I think, has done a few.
Kenny Williams was there. We had our first one was Noam Dar, which was really fun. Because it kind of walked in, and I was kind of like, right, I'm going to be a bit nervous. I thought I'd have like wee shaky hands because I was there when he debuted on Raw. But he walked in, he was like, oh, you all right? And I was like, oh, hey, yeah. Like, it was just like normal, which I guess is always kind of a weird thing because you assume they're going to be this like big like character and like, the opposite of it.
Yeah,
his seminar was really fun. Like, he had us stay a hang where we would, it was like a sequence, we'd bounce off the ropes, take a bump, and then he wanted us to say hello in a different language, and if you couldn't say one then you'd be out. And I'm like, I don't know, I can't watch along with you. I think I was at like the third round.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's actually why you want to be right near the start, because then you could do hello, bonjour.
Okay, we didn't do a line, so we're all just racing to get into the ring because we obviously just wanted to say hello, like to be the first English one.
I'm actually now just racking my brain thinking, I can't think of any more than two. Salute, that's high, that doesn't count. But that sounds mad. So you talk about wrestling style, you said AJ Lee would be kind of right about there. So is that kind of, I don't know, what was she? So it was more like maybe more submission / ground based, a little bit high flying, Shining Wizards and what have you. Is that, would that be your kind of style?
High flying, maybe a wee bit lucha inspired. I wouldn't go as far to say like lucha, because I'm not really, but like, I like to kind of incorporate quite a few lucha hangs. Andy likes to teach us, like, especially when I ask him, like, can you do like more like high flying lucha hang? We've got quite a few guys that, like, yeah, Kentalon Jr., he can do about everything, especially when it comes to lucha moves and lucha submissions. Anything he puts his mind to, I'm kind of like, how can he do that?
It's the power of the mask, I think. Longer than them. It's the mask.
Maybe it is the power of mask. I think there's a film about that as well. The guy who puts the mask on and gives him powers and that.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought of Nacho Libre first, but yeah, the mask, the actual mask itself. So, yeah, I'm just now just imagining Talon Jr.'s Nacho Libre, which he's not going to appreciate at all. No. So, how did you get the name Harmony Sky? Was that given to you, or was that something that you thought of?
I have to give all the credit to my dad. He was the one that he comes up with. We did have another name, which was Isla Black, but that wasn't really as good as Harmony Sky. I had a few as well. I was going to go for Morgan Cook as well, which is just like my middle name. And I was like, that doesn't really seem that great either. And he was like, how about this? Harmony Sky, but we'll put an E at the end of the sky so it looks more Scottish. And I was like, Dad, I think you're onto something. I was like, I think you've got the one. And then we messaged Andy, we're like, what do you think about this name? He's like, I thought, I think it's cool. And we just ran with it. And then it's clearly got out there. It's clearly something that people are sitting to for.
So as your dad, you're like, you're creative. Is that where you bind yourself, your ideas before you approach them to Andy and that? You just go, what do you think of this? Or he's going to come to you and
I'm like, Dad, what do you think of this ring gear? What do you think about this promo? He'd tell me if it was rubbish or not, anyway, doesn't he? He won't lie to me. If it was rubbish, he would tell me. So I kind of could always go to him. He'd never lie to me.
So I'm assuming once you think of your finishing move, you're going to be like, right, Dad, give the name of this.
Right.
I've got this. Anything in mind so far, or you don't want to spoil it just in case your opponents have to look out
I've
for
not
it?
Got like one properly said, but Johnny does one that he uses the leg drop. He says that I've got the best leg drop he's seen, which I do take as a big compliment because that was his finishing move. I'm not sure if I want to use it as a finisher or something, but I'll definitely
have it to your back, I think, wouldn't it? But he did have the best leg drop ever. That's why it was called the best leg drop ever. He'd always shout it before it. I don't know how his opponents didn't notice it was coming.
He's always up there like, Johnny, I'm like, well, you can move. You're not deep.
Yeah. Oh, I love watching Johnny wrestle, but I do sit there sometimes going, how can they not know what's coming? He shouts the moves before he does them.
Loud. So, you can just hear him feel like the next room, like, oh my God, before I'd walk into training, I'd be like, right, we've got Johnny the night, because you hear him just like running the ropes and just screaming. I'm like, I'm for an hour.
I love the guy, honestly. I think I would get him on the podcast, but I know that I'd be here for a very long time, and I don't think I would ask that many questions, because I would just be like, how you doing? And I could just sit back and just let him go. And I think
I would go into a big story and be like, you'll never guess what this guy asked me, and then he would come at me a different story. You never stop talking, but it's a good thing. I like listening to him talk.
So I noticed you've got a belt in the corner there for those that are watching the video feed. Is that the Raw or SmackDown Women's Championship?
The SmackDown. I'll grab it then. I'm in my jammies though, but if I can get it, I might can get it. There we go, I've got it. Yeah, it is.
So I'm a belt connoisseur myself. I've got several, but they're all from when before you were even watching wrestling. The European title, Cruiserweight, which is an oxymoron.
They
for
had
me.
The Divas title up here as well. Where is it?
Ah, nice.
Lovely. I couldn't get that belt, didn't I? It was stuck on the hook.
That kind of merges how you're watching. So the Bella Twins, of course, they were the actually WrestleMania 30. That was when the Raw Women's title was activated, wasn't it? It was the Triple Threat main event. Yeah, Triple Threat. Charlotte, Sasha, Becky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you started watching it, that was kind of when that title went and the new one started. So that's
I was quite upset because I was kind of young. So when I heard about the rulers, I thought they meant like the Divas belt was just going to be named in, like the women would have new belts. I'm like to my dad, they can't do that to us, we can't even go with a belt. But he was like, no, they're bringing a new one. I'm like, oh, that's all right then. And I looked at it and then I was like, when Lita revealed it, I was like, oh my God, I need that. Like, it just looked like the men's one, which was cool, but it had all the diamonds on it and I thought it looked nice and sparkly. I was like, I want that.
I got mine on my 18th birthday. That's when I got my first one, and I was like, I'm wearing this everywhere. In the house, not outside the house.
I made my aim belt with a cornflakes box, which I do think I've got, but it was just the SmackDown belt with a cornflakes box. I'd like to staple the sides and had to use Kirby's to keep it in my waist and all.
I did exactly the same. I made the hardcore title because it could be as awful looking as it could be.
Aye. And it didn't matter. You'd get
a little bit. And it would be, I think it was a summer, my cousin was up and he was up for a week. So we would spend the week just trying to beat each other for this really rotten looking cardboard belt. That was, a very fun time. It was blue tack we used instead of the grips because I was there. I didn't have sisters or anything like that, so Kirby grips did not exist in my house. obviously, I don't need them because I don't have hair.
You can do it on your beard if you really wanted to.
I could do, yeah. I don't know how that would go, but I did get to the length once that I could get paper clips into it, which I just looked like an idiot, to be honest. I looked like Captain Lou Albano, which will be a reference that might go way over your head. But it was not a good look. Okay, so I think that Divas title also really helps me. I think that's why you and Ashley Vega might be kind of quite a good match, because she's all about the Divas, the Diva era of stuff. Is that kind of a common ground that you guys have when you go back and watch stuff and you see likes of the Bella Twins or likes Kelly Kelly? Would that be ones that caught your eye as well?
One of my favourites was Michelle McCool, who was the first Divas champion, I'm sure.
I would say yes. Yeah, I think she was.
Aye. I just loved everything about her, and I just like the whole Divas era. Although we didn't get very much time, it was really entertaining to see who was going to get the belt. And I thought the belt looked nice as well. I do think I like the Divas era as much as Ashley Vega does, so I think she wants to go back a few years to rejoin them at that point. But
some
of them I do love watching.
She'd from her own mouth, she would have forgivable matches every weekend. So yeah, I think she might have the edge on loving the Divas matches. So outside of wrestling, what would be your passions? Is it just like movies, sports, hobbies, anything like that?
Well, I like painting. I'm not very good at painting, but I like that. And I'm all about movies. I've been really into Harry Potter for like the past 2 weeks. I just sat and watched them the whole, like, in the space of like 2 days, I think.
Is that your first Harry Potter experience the last couple of weeks then?
It was.
Right, that's... Yeah, I don't want to like blow your mind or anything, but I've been to the Harry Potter stuff in London, and it is incredible. So if you ever get the chance, go see it. It's just, I'm not a humongous fan of it, but my wife is just nuts for it. And as soon as I went, I was like, oh my god, I see why. I mean, the movies.
I would love to see it in person.
But yeah, definitely. If the world opens up again. Definitely get to London. It's definitely worth the trip.
I've been running into London to see it.
before we start wrapping up, we do have a question from Kevin Williams, who he asks everyone this exact same question, which I forgot to do in last week's episode as of recording with Mike Musso. But what is your favourite dinosaur?
Well, it's a Brachiosaurus, the one with a really long neck.
So like Arlo from Good Dinosaur, which is how that's the one that Mike Musso picked when I coerced him on Twitter to answer. Okay, so that's kind of like it's a herbivore.
It's quite like a basic one. I'm not really, because my cousin's son, he's writing to dinosaurs, so I was like, listen, what's the one with a long neck? And she would tell me, like, I'll keep that in mind. My dad wanted me to say turkey dinosaurs as a joke.
Oh, that would have been a great one.
Could have been a mess.
Oh no! I'll take if anyone who tries to skirt it, someone answered Barney. I'm sure I've had Barney already. I'm sure Nate Stevenson gave me one that I never heard of. I thought he made it up, and then he sent me it afterwards, going, "See, it is real." So yeah, anyone who tries to skirt, who tries to get a loophole in the question, I'm all for. So you want to change your mind? Yeah, dinosaurs?
We'll go with turkey dinosaur then.
Turkey dinosaurs.
We'll change it to a turkey dinosaur.
But I remember, you get in farm food, so I remember you used to get turkey dinosaurs, chicken jets. Don't know how they got chicken jets, but yeah, made out of jets. Exactly the same, just jets. So the only other name I have on here that I haven't really we haven't really approached is, again, from my research, pretty much if anyone's looking to find out how I did my research, you go to Harmony Sky's Instagram, and she's got a Q&A thing that's pretty much how I got all my research here. Was your dream manager of Steve Austin?
Mm.
So again, it was just cool, just a cool
he
guy.
Cool. You know, I mean, imagine him being by your side every week. I'd rather hear him than like something like Paul Heyman. He just, I forget your line, he just bottle him for me.
yeah, Paul
Heyman. Maybe don't have a beer with him, like maybe I have like a can of Coke to crack or something. But
okay, you have to wait a couple of years for that. Legally. Okay, so that's, I think I think we've learned a lot about Harmony Sky on this particular episode. And I can honestly say you're as nice as people say. So everyone's right, you're very nice. I can definitely agree with that from our brief chat.
I'm trying my best.
So before we wrap up then, where can people find you on social media?
On Instagram and Twitter, it's at HarmonySky03, and then it's just HarmonySky on Facebook as well.
Excellent. Well, that was nice and straightforward and easy to find. So yeah, thank you very much for joining us on this particular episode of SWM Podcast. I'm sure once it goes out, everyone will be champing a bit to, again, put you forward, and hopefully by the time this goes out, you'll be properly training again, and make your way to that first elusive match with Omar Mohammed or Ross Hunter.
I'm looking out for Omar, I get a watch.
Excellent. So thank you very much.
No problem.